Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome to America Tonight. What version of America are we living in these days? China helping to tank our stock market. You might be $9,000 to $10,000 lighter when it comes to the 401k. Or if you're a billionaire, you might have lost perhaps a billion. Who do you think has an easier time of recovering, the billionaire or the little guy? I'm going to say, yeah, the billionaire. Can I miss the $1 billion? Perhaps, but it's a different feel than when you're talking about, can I live those extra couple of years? No, I'm set to retire and I needed that extra money, right? So it's pretty scary what's happening. Black Monday shows a new financial crisis. You open the stock market to the tune of the bells and the excitement of nothing as the market tumbles 1,000 points, the Dow briefly. It shot back up, but still it wasn't an incredible shoot back up. Came back up and then it went back down again. In the first 6 minutes of trading, over 1,000 down. Wow. Do you know that more than 13.9 billion shares changed hands. Lickety split. Makes Monday the largest volume day since August of 2011. Overall, the Dow down over 588 points. It was a dip. Sharp decline. Let's put it this way, that way. Big sell-off. That's why that happened. So a lot of losses. But then I read this thing where someone says, oh, many investors say they're optimistic about U.S. stocks and they stepped in to buy shares. Yes, shares that were in the toilet. That's what they stepped up to buy. Are you kidding? So with China's economy slowing dramatically, there's heavy selling in stocks around the world. And then Beijing moving to devalue its currency 2 weeks ago. So the world's so-called second largest economy might be in worse shape. Imagine that. They didn't tell us what the economy was really doing in China. So of course you're going to have a giant drop-off. And the Chinese Central Bank taking a page out of our playbook, preparing to flood the banking system with liquidity, increasing lending, whatever they can do to boost the economy. That's the name of the game. So it was up a little bit, but not a tremendous amount on Tuesday. It does affect our markets. It affects all markets across the board. Lots of volatility out there. Thanks, China. Always giving us, aren't they? Oh, so kind. And they hold our debt as we keep getting more and more of it. And that is the scariest thing of all. No one ever talks about that, or at least not very much. I love what the Starbucks CEO said, because the baristas who are working for him and love working for him, he's helping them through college and whatnot. There's incentive programs out the yang. He had to assure his employees that it's not going to affect the company's growth plans, that they'll manage somehow to navigate through the challenge. Starbucks shares were down 20% before recovering. So they bounced down. What Schultz said in a memo to his peeps was, "Today's financial market volatility, combined with great political uncertainty, both at home and abroad, will undoubtedly have an effect on consumer confidence and perhaps even our customers' attitudes and behavior. Our customers are likely to experience an increased level of anxiety and concern. Please recognize this, and as you always have, remember that our success is not an entitlement, but something we need to earn every day." In other words, suck up to the rich people who are paying too much for our products. How much money do people spend at Starbucks? Too much, right? It cracks me up, but people will complain to me about money, and then they show up to a meeting, and they have a giant Frappuccino with extra shots of whatever that cost them $8. And I'll think, man, I can tell you we can get a cheaper cup of coffee than that. But I get it. It's the little things, right? It's the little things. So Schultz is right. You got to keep the customers happy. Keep them coming in and buying the crazy expensive drinks that we serve that they get each and every day, where people drop $30 just on their Starbucks habit. This isn't even going to lunch. So how much are they dropping lunch-wise? Now, when he says people are going to be filled with anxiety, so the middle peeps, the ones who definitely frequent Starbucks, maybe decide, ooh, I got to cut that out because I'm seeing what's going on with the market. I'm seeing what's really happening with the economy, and I'm paying attention now, so maybe I don't have to go to Starbucks every single day. And oh yeah, sometimes I get a scone, or I get a piece of cake, or I get whatever else it is that they're pushing. Because they're pushing more and more food products, he's no dummy. He's a smart business person. It seems as though the vultures are circling over Hillary's campaign that is dying. Is it going to be a slow death, or will it be a fast one, like a stake to the heart, like a vampire? We'll get her. And the vampire is the government, the very government she serves. Because here's the scoop. Hillary Clinton has many, many friends, but she has many, many enemies in Washington, too. And it gets grimmer and grimmer every news cycle when they talk about what happened with the email and classified information. She can't remember, and oh, just it doesn't seem believable. Does it? Can they bounce back from this? You know, the New York Times said the controversy over Hillary's email server seems almost ridiculous and should be easy to handle, but the questions about it are durable, and her friends and allies are increasingly concerned about whether she has any idea of how to deal with the gathering storm. Nobody's hitting the panic button, but everybody's making sure they know where the button is. And that's exactly what I would say. Does she really realize how deep in they are on this, with this problem? Does she really realize it? Michael Hayden, a former director of the National Security Administration, said what Hillary did was stupid and dangerous. Stupid and dangerous. Because of what was the classified information. We've just scratched the surface on that one. Stay with us. Much more coming your way next as we leap over the fence.
Sciatica, lower back pain, hip pain, poor posture. If you suffer from any of these problems, get ready to relax. Introducing an amazing product that's been in the market for over 25 years, the Sacro Wedgie. It was invented by a football coach using a common sense osteopath technique. He created this device to help his athletes by isolating and supporting the sacrum, which is the keystone of our anatomy. This wedge-shaped bone is in the center of our hips, where a lot of pain starts. Simply relax 20 minutes daily on the amazingly simple Sacro Wedgie and let gravity do the to work, helping muscles rebalance and start releasing nerves. Sit in the sacral wedgie at the computer or while traveling to help correct posture to finally help relieve those stubborn aches and pains for only $33.95. It's made in the USA, so click the family-owned website at sacrowedgie.com, spelled S-A-C-R-O-W-E-D-G-Y.com, or call 1-800-737-9295. That's 1-800-737-9295. Relax your back pain away with the Sacro Wedgie.
Healthy, organic, fresh fish, robust, mouth-watering vegetables, all from your home. It's called aquaponics. This brilliant, self-sustaining protein and veggie system is perfect for year-round growing. Know exactly where your food is coming from. AquaponicsSource.com is the one-stop shop for all your needs. Fish, fish food, plumbing, full systems, classes, and more. Learn to build your own system. Go to AquaponicsSource.com for a free guide to aquaponics. That's AquaponicsSource.com.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be The Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
So to speak, to talk about a few other things. One, I got to throw this out because Nail the Score is coming back for fun. You know how we do that. Whatever the game of the week is, randomly chosen by our big-time computer, and it's been upgraded. I know we're going to have a winner this year. We might have a couple of winners, and we have some cool things to give away. So I hope we have some fabulous winners waiting for us in the wings. And once the game is chosen, you don't have to know anything about football. You just throw out a numerical guess, and we only do it for one segment. And we're going to tell you when all that happens coming up next week. But if you are a Green Bay Packers fan, wow, a brutal preseason game. Not one where your standout wide receiver was hit, but where it was a non-contact injury. Jordy Nelson, with a torn ACL, is out for the season, lost for the season. Boy, that is huge news. You know why? Because everybody picked Green Bay to automatically win the NFC North and, in fact, be in the NFC Championship game. Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback for Green Bay, is completed, check this out, 70% of his passes to Jordy Nelson in his career. Rodgers, 45 pass TDs to Nelson are the most to any receiver in his career. You know, he looked like a ghost afterwards. Aaron Rodgers did, and you just knew, yeah, this is not going to be good. So this changes the odds, I think, for Green Bay in a very big, big way, needless to say. In fact, the wise guys in Vegas at the Las Vegas Superbook had Green Bay as co-favorites to win the Pro Bowl, a Pro Football Championship, rather, with Seattle at 9-2. Those odds are now 6-1. 6-1 odds. Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. And this is preseason. You know, there is something about preseason. Why play those extra preseason games is what I would say. Forget it. Dump a regular season game on the players and get rid of two of the preseason games because this is the sport. This is the sport. This is the NFL. And there are things that happen. And here, this was a non-contact injury. Also, Justin Wilson, sad story there. IndyCar driver died at the age of 37. He was hurt at the Pocono race this past weekend, on Sunday, in fact, at the Pocono Raceway because of the head injury he had there. And, I mean, it looked terrible if I saw the video afterwards. And, of course, drivers are shocked by this. They know there are risks, inherent risks in driving. But Ari Leindike said, I think, the best, Junior. He said, sad, sad news. Justin Wilson has passed away. Always brought a smile to my face. The guy was always happy to be doing what he loved. So, you know, they airlifted him to a hospital. And what happened was there was 20 laps left in the race, and a car spun into the wall. His car broke apart when it was impacted, and the nose cone basically came out. It was falling back down toward the track. It hit Wilson in the head. So immediately, I mean, they got to him as fast as they could, but that was it. And I mean, he's a guy who's finished in the top 10 of the IndyCar standings a couple of times and won some big races, including a big race at the Texas Motor Speedway in 2012. And they know this is, they know that this is part of the deal when you're in this sport, but it's a sad reality, let's put it that way. I'll never forget, for me personally, Adam Petty, who was just a great kid, spent some time with me, coming by my studio and talked cars with me, and he was just a fascinating kid, and he was killed. And then this is from, you know, royalty, the Petty family as far as racing is concerned, and there's just no way to protect 100%. Like I said, this is part of the game, and certainly it's the part that they know all too well, the families, that something could and absolutely happen when you're going at those rates of speed. And I have to bring this up. The this nonsense about the cheating Ashley Madison website and that it was hacked into, and there's massive fallout over this. They're saying now that two people committed suicide because they were linked to it and whatever uproar it caused, because there were a lot of spouses that were frantically trying to figure out if their husband was part of this whole Ashley Madison thing. And a bunch of reality stars have accounts apparently with the site. The husband of one of the Jersey Shore people, Snooki's husband, has one. There's somebody else, because of course I don't watch these shows, somebody from the Real Housewives of New York, they've got one. One of the husbands there has one. And you know, they talk about this is, it's a cheating website. It's known for that. So it's people, I want to know the political people. It's people supposedly in politics, celebrities, reality people, whatever. Now, why do you do that? Why would you go to a website that says we will hook you up with people who want to cheat and you're cheating? Are you kidding me? Oh, And then the chances that their information would be hacked into, since we know how secure all these websites are. So naturally, it gets hacked into. And you know what their tagline is? Life is short. Have an affair. I mean, come on. It's brutal. A cheater's website. You know, what are the odds? It was bound to happen. Couldn't happen to nicer people, right? Sorry. You got mail, and you might not like that mail as to what happened. And who knows? I mean, who knows who else is part of who's part of the site, who has, you know, been partaking in the site? We don't know. I have no idea. And then finally, this one last quick thing. Very sad, sad story. And I hate to throw the story out here, although I don't hate to throw the story out. It's just a sad story about a man who was shot twice trying to protect his family while his wife raced out of the house with their six-month-old son. It was during a home invasion in, you know, Atlanta. And how often do we talk about protecting your house and what happens and gun rights when people wrestle with the gun rights and whether or not you should be able to own guns even, and a really disturbing thing. Just home, wrong time, boom. The wife got out and the six-month-old got out, and that's the great news there. But the husband didn't get out, and it was just a home invasion. I mean, just like that, the, you know, lives are changed, just like that. So he was shot and survived it, but boom, lucky that it wasn't fatal. Lucky it wasn't fatal. And he's speaking out about it. You know, he's talking about what happened and what it was like and how scary it was and how they, you know, reacted as quickly as they could. And as I said, this goes to the whole issue of owning a gun, being a homeowner with a gun, knowing what to do if someone breaks in. I mean, really, how often are you practicing that? Or how often are you going through self-defense mode? It's just another reminder that you not to be overly paranoid and constantly look over your shoulder, but a little bit of knowledge goes a very long way, and a little bit of protection goes a very long way too as well. And luckily for this family, it ended up him being shot, but not fatally. So I guess it's a sad story, but there is the silver lining to it and just a good reminder. Stay with us. Much more coming your way next.
Are you excited about the World Wide Web? Do you want a place where you can share your ideas and express yourself? Well, dial up your modems and stream on down to the GCN Live Community Forum. Lots of radical features await you there.
Wow, Internet guy, I'm so glad I went to the GCN Live Community Forum.
You too can discover why the World Wide Web is awesome. Just go to GCNLive.com/forum. That's GCNLive.com/forum. I'll see you in cyberspace. Friend GCN Live on Diaspora and Cross.tv.
Okay, open your mouth and say, ah.
Ah.
When your child has a sore throat, you need to know when to get help. The doctor-recommended Say Ah Sore Throat Exam is your solution. The scientifically designed oral retractor offers a clear view of the throat, relaxing the tongue and minimizing gag reflex. Compare with a medical-grade chart, website, and app. Then you'll know just what to tell your doctor. A wellness plan in your hands in minutes. Go to SayAhNow.com. SayAhNow.com, the new mainstay for every family's first aid kit.
Great minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
Everyone says or does something silly once in a while. Even very smart, very accomplished people. It's part of being human. A quote taken out of context, a legal problem, an unfortunate photograph. Once that embarrassing thing is on the internet, it can spread like a terrible rash because people love to dig up dirt, even when it's not real dirt. Put it to rest. Call for a free expert analysis today from Reputation.com. It only takes 30 seconds. 800-831-0771. Businesses, public figures, and professionals turn to Reputation.com for good reason. We protect your online image by helping make sure that when people search for you or your business, they find the most current, accurate information possible. Reputation.com. Because word travels fast. Learn more about what the experts at Reputation.com can do for you. Call for a free analysis today. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Hi, this is Walt Augustinowicz. I'm the founder and CEO of ID Stronghold. By now you've heard our commercials about wallets that protect you from electronic pickpocketing. 10 years ago, I created a way to protect my own cards from prying eyes after government officials started talking about issuing a national ID card with a built-in radio chip called RFID. I felt having to broadcast my personal information was an invasion of privacy. Soon after, it was also announced that credit cards, debit cards, U.S. passports, hotel room keys, and even transit passes would all soon incorporate RFID. It was then I formed ID Stronghold to share my inventions in blocking RFID signals with the world. There are a lot of misconceptions out there today about RFID. I encourage everyone to get informed and get protected. Please go to IDStronghold.com and get the facts and the wallet, sleeves, or badge holders you need to protect your personal financial data. You'll be pleasantly surprised that through our direct sales model, you won't pay more than other comparable unprotected wallets. It is as though the protection is free. Visit IDStronghold.com today.
You are an individual with your own thoughts, decisions, and actions. So why should you be penalized for not enrolling in the subpar health insurance mandated by the government? Be truly independent. Visit LibertyOnCall.org. LibertyOnCall.org is a bold, innovative alternative allowing you to take back control and make your own decisions about your health care. Mention this ad when you call to learn more. 800-714-6993. That's 800-714-6993. LibertyOnCall.org. Call today.
So you wanna hear about the guy that really gets me going? He's about to walk through that door, I just don't know it. Moving in from behind, I turn my head around, he's sitting with some friends talking in.
Welcome to another edition of It's Your Business here on America Tonight. Very pleased to welcome to the show Jeffrey Hazlett, and he is, I'll tell you, someone that I've admired for a long time, especially after I read the last couple of years when I read his book, Running the Gauntlet. It is a must read. I could not put it down. I ignored everything around me to read this book, and I found it to be so insightful. You can catch him on the C-suite. He was the CMO for Kodak. He has bought and sold 250 businesses, and we are pleased to have him on the show. Jeff, thanks for coming on.
Well, it's good to be here. Thanks so much.
So let's talk about, I wanted to talk about businesses first, and why are, you know, I mentioned how many businesses you had and you sold in the course of the CMO of Kodak, and you watched a lot of, through the decades there, you watched businesses really change, and the way we do business in this country, I think, change a lot. And to me, with so many entrepreneurs, for some reason, I think one of the key ingredients is being able to adapt, you know, and change with the times, or else you die. And you specifically talk about that in your book, adapt, change, or die, basically. Why is there such a reluctance to do that, to change when you have to?
Well, I think we just get a little lazy, you know, or we think that that's what we're supposed to do, that we get it to a certain point and we lock it in, and that's not the case. By the time you get ready to to lock it in, you should be looking at changing it and keep improvement. Continuous improvement is going to be the course. And for your business, it's a mindset. It just says, I'm never quite, you know, happy with everything the way it is. And you want to keep improving it. Because that's the, you know, I think that's the way real great businesses are built. They keep looking for a different way to change the widget or to sell the widget or to service the people with the widget or whatever it might be. And I think companies get pretty complacent and they start doing things for their own reasons, not for the reasons that they first got in the business. And that is to solve a problem, to fix, you know, to save the world or to just, you know, to maximize the most profit or maximize the most value out of the intellectual property that they have. And they just, you know, they lock it in place. So they start adding 800 numbers that some sadistic, you know, I can't probably say it in your show, but, you know, came up with that, you know, with a telephone tree that says one for this, three for this. Who does that? Who wants that? You know, and I don't know anyone that has one of those that even likes it calling in. So we, you know, we operate from 8 to 5 when, you know, you're you fix cars and you don't open on Saturday. I don't have time. I've got a, bring my car back on Saturday, you know, and, you know, things like that. And it's just kind of wacko, crazy kind of things, and we forget.
Yeah, and the people who embrace that, though, are the people that see massive success often, right?
Well, without question, in terms of change, you know, adapt, yep. Change, or die, and that's a theme. I just want people to take it. You know, I got a new book coming out in September, which I'm going to be, it's called Think Big, Act Bigger. You know, think big, but act bigger. And stop, you know, letting things, you know, stop you and just steamroll these things. And I think it's an important thing that we've got to keep in mind.
I like that. Think big, act bigger. So,
yeah,
I love it. It's a great title. Sexy title. So, yeah, and you know that you get the marketing thing, obviously.
Well, I'm a sexy guy. I'm a sexy guy. I can't help it. You know, when a woman picks up my book and she can't put it down, I'm thinking, hey, pretty good. Pretty good. Love
yeah.
it.
There you go. Thumbs up to that one for sure. I mentioned at the top that you were, you know, the chief marketing officer and vice president of the company's, you were even the vice president of the company's graphic communications group, which was huge for Kodak. What was it like making that leap from Kodak into your own world?
Well, you know, I've been there before. You know, when I bought and sold all these companies, some of them I, you know, I ran or owned, some of them I didn't own, just, you know, but I've always been an entrepreneur myself, you know, I've got a couple of businesses now that I'm running. So getting back to it wasn't difficult for me. I mean, people say, what do you miss? Well, I got to be honest with you, I miss my corporate plane. I miss that a lot, you know, but especially tonight when I'm flying in the back row and the, you know, in the middle seat. But, you know, but that's, you know, that's life. I didn't have a much of a problem with the transition because I try to operate even in a big company like I'm in a small company, meaning getting things done. Like I would say to people, like, you know, they would say the bathrooms need to clean. Well, get on there and clean them. I mean, what did you do at home if your bathrooms are messy and you're in the, you know, you get, that's your floor and those are your bathrooms. Get in there. Make it nice, you know. You're the one that messed it up in the first place. So I kind of operate like that with that philosophy right now. So, and I did then at a big company.
Yeah. When you were at Kodak, and of course now you see where the industry is, what happened to when you were at Kodak, it was thriving, but what happened to Kodak with what we've seen, certainly with the way things have changed and the way we take pictures? I mean, my gosh, how many pictures do you have on your cell phone?
Well, it's just changed. Yeah, I mean, you know, I used to go to, you know, meetings and, you know, what they were trying to do was protect film. And I mean, that was the mantra inside the company was protect film, protect film. And even with the new leadership that came in over a few years, so it was just in the last decade, they couldn't get the underlying folks to say, you know, it's dead, you know, because you go to a town hall meeting and 3,000 people would be in the meeting and you'd say, you know, when was the last time anyone in this room and the people that worked in the company bought a roll of film and maybe one or two hands would go up. They go, well, there you go. That's the reason why, you know, we're failing. If our company is focused just on film, and that was the problem. They should have focused on film. Although it was a great product and a great, you know, thing, they were in the business of intellectual property, of making moments, you know, I call it M3I², make, manage, and move images and information. They had emotional technology. And they really went bankrupt back in the 70s when they invented the digital camera and then didn't do anything because they were trying to protect the margins of profit on a product, you know, that they thought was the thing they were doing. And that's not what they were doing. They were not in the film business. They were in the emotional technology business. And therein lies the problem. And that's what they forgot. And so they got so focused on protecting that role of film that it didn't make a difference what came up. They would kill it. You know, they had the hubris of that success that really caused them to forget to see into the mirror and ask themselves the key questions about what they were really doing.
Yeah, there's big lessons in that, right?
Oh, huge lessons. I mean, but, you know, there are other companies. They Kodak survived. I mean, they filed bankruptcy a year ago. I left there 5 years ago. But they, you know, they filed bankruptcy last year, and I keep telling everybody when they went bankrupt, you know, back in the 70s. So that's when they fundamentally made the decision. You know, but they're about a $9 billion company, throwing about $2 billion to the bottom line today. So not bad. They just had all of that overhang from all that consumer business, which was dead, you know.
Yeah. Tell us about the C-suite and how fun has that been for you? You've interviewed some really interesting people.
Yeah, we started the C-suite show, but we've also started the C-suite network, csuitetv.com. And, you know, what we're trying to do is focus in on, you know, those leaders, those, you know, five or six leaders that are in the management teams, leaderships of all companies. And what we want to do is just go out and have conversations with people about what it's like there. Because, you know, in big companies, let's just take Fortune 100, Fortune 1000, or even Fortune 5000, about 99% of the people who work in the company never get a chance to go into the C-suite. And that is into the leadership meetings of the people who are running the companies. And I know that sounds kind of wacky, but it's so true. When you have, you know, tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands or even hundreds of employees, you don't always get to sit in the same room where all the leaders are. And that was the premise of the show. You know, I'd see something like Domino's, like they would advertise, you know, oh, our pizza sucks. Well, who in their right mind raised their hand in the middle of a meeting and said, we suck? You know, I know we're, you know, and is the person still there? I mean, I have questions like that. I mean, who puts advertising that they spend, and why? What would prompt them to do that? And then the guy's still there. I mean, and so what I do is I take a camera inside of Domino's, and I go into the C-suite. We all sit around, and I say, well, where were you sitting when that question was posed? Because you know somebody said that.
Oh yeah.
And they did. And someone did. And I said, well, what happened? You know. Or into Autodesk when the chairman of the company says we had our last quarter was an unmitigated disaster, and that's how he started out his earnings call. I mean, who says that? You know, or Kodak, Cadillac. Cadillac, you know, is it a bankrupt sitting, a bankrupt company trying to be a luxury brand? I kind of like to know how you're going to do that, you know. So just me asking questions, things that I think most of us want to know, and I just ask them until they tell it.
And, yeah, you get to peel back the onion. You're peeling back the onion, baby.
Yeah, well, you know, and a lot of people think I go in there with a lot of preconceived, you know, like, oh, I got all these questions. No, I just kind of let it flow. And it's always an interesting story. They've been highly visual. You know, we shoot with the very best cameras, the very best teams, you know, but we use things like plexiglass and things like that to give us some really good I don't know what's the secret of the trade there. You know, I'm the only show with plexiglass, you know, so I'm feeling pretty impressed. Yeah. So we just have some fun, but we really try to make it very visually stimulating and exciting because I like to do good things, and that's what we're trying to do.
Well, this was a lot of fun, Jeff. How can people catch your show?
Oh, just go online, csuitetv.com. That's it. That's all you got to do. Csuite, S-U-I-T-E, because it's like sweet, as in a place, as in not sweet like me. csuitetv.com. That's where you go. Yeah.
All right. I love it. Jeff, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Everyone says or does something silly once in a while. But once that embarrassing thing is on the internet, it can spread like a terrible rash. Put it to rest. Get a free expert analysis today from Reputation.com. It only takes 30 seconds. 800-831-0771. We protect your online image by helping to make sure that when people search for you or your business, they find the most current, accurate information possible. Reputation.com. Because word travels fast. Call for a free analysis today. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
With our next guest, when you think of what's going on in leadership these days, just the other day, Jeff Bezos from Amazon defending the workplace culture. When I said that I feel like they throw the package to my house from where the warehouse is because I can't believe how fast they get it here when you have Amazon Prime, it's unbelievable. And one of the things Bezos has said is that we start with the customers first. So what happens when that gets upended? And there's a huge piece in the New York Times trashing what happens in your culture. What is the Amazonian culture to all the people who work there? Jeff Pfeffer is with us, and he is the author of Leadership BS, Fixing Workplace and Careers One Truth at a Time. Hey, Jeff, thanks for hanging with us.
It's my pleasure to be with you.
So this is perfect timing. We're going to talk about Donald Trump and some other people in leadership, but Jeff Bezos got slammed with the big whammy because the gray lady tried to take Amazon down with a revealing article about things that happened to people as employees of his company. And no leader, especially on that level, wants anything that's so disparaging to come out. Immediately he sent a memo to employees saying that we care about the employees and it's all about our pride here, and to his knowledge that wasn't going on. So what do you make of that story?
Well, what I make of it is a couple things. First of all, this is not the only story on the web about the harsh conditions of working at Amazon. There's a couple couple of newspapers, including The Guardian in the UK, that have put reporters undercover to work in their warehouses. So this is really not, in some sense, news. You know, I'm sure Jeff is going to disagree with it, but there's a lot of stuff on the web that talks about the harsh conditions in Amazon. That's number one. And number two, as I point out in the book, Leadership BS, we claim we want certain qualities in leaders. We claim we want leaders who are self-effacing and modest and who take care of other people and who, you know, tell the truth. But if you look at what we actually select for and reward, we reward mostly success in people who are tough and powerful. So we say we want one thing, but we actually apparently, and our behaviors and choices seem to want something else. And so while it is true, Amazon's a tough place, you also have to understand that Amazon ranks fourth on Fortune's list of most admired companies, and Jeff Bezos is typically in the top five of the most admired CEOs.
Yeah, so there's my question. Can you be both? Can you have both all that in a leader? Can you still have an awesome workplace? And you're always going to have a few people that are going to complain if you have thousands of people that work for you. But can you overall have the incredible culture and still be that tough, powerful, admired leader?
It's possible there are a few, but if you look at the contemporary leaders who've gotten a lot of attention, ranging from the late George Steinbrenner of the New York Yankees to, of course, the famous Steve Jobs, many of them are not the nicest people. They're certainly not people you'd want to be stranded on a desert island with, because they are so fixated on winning and on success, and anything that gets in their way, including, by the way, their employees or work-life balance or a bunch of other stuff, is often just collateral damage.
Wow. All right, so having said that, we see what's going on with Donald Trump. His chances of winning the nomination suddenly have gotten a little bit better. I mean, we're still just under a year until we actually have the convention and of course, the primaries and all that's rolled into getting someone to that point. But we see that he's grabbing all the headlines. So what's the skinny on Donald Trump?
Well, the skinny on Donald Trump is pretty much the same as the skinny on Jeff Bezos. I think the political pundits have missed the point. There's a lot of stuff about how he's appealing to some small segment of very unhappy, disaffected, outraged voters. I'm sure that's partly true. But Trump also, he's got the self-promotion. He's hogged the media spotlight. He won't back down. He doesn't apologize, which is something that I talk about in my book called Power. He says outrageous things and, doesn't always deal precisely with the truth. For instance, he's claimed he has the best-selling business book of all time, which turns out doesn't pass fact-checking. But all of these qualities are actually qualities that we've seen in other strong business leaders, ranging from Steve Jobs to Jeff Bezos. They take a few liberties with the facts, and they certainly self-promote and don't apologize. So Donald Trump exhibits again this wonderful paradox. The qualities we claim to want in leaders is not what we seem to want when they show up.
All right, we're speaking with Jeff Pfeffer. He's the author of Leadership BS, Fixing Workplace and Careers One Truth at a Time. He's also, by the way, the Thomas D. D., the second professor, I love that, of organizational behavior at the Graduate School of Business, Stanford U. And so when you're teaching at Stanford, what do you tell the students about leadership?
I teach a course. It's one of the most popular electives. It is called the Paths, P-A-T-H-S, as in plural, Paths to Power. And I tell them that the world is not a just and fair place and that it's not often exactly as it's been described to them in the kumbaya culture of Stanford. And they need to get ready for the world that they are going to face, and that if they want to make the world a better, more humane, kinder, and gentler place, that's fine and that's great. But you have to begin by understanding the situation, the social psychology, and why it is that we seem to gravitate to these strong, bold, outrageous leaders.
All right, so why is it that we gravitate toward strong and bold, outrageous leaders?
I think it's part partly because we are genetically predisposed, in order for our survival, to recognize two things. Number one, friend or foe, which is one of the reasons why interpersonal similarity is a strong base of attraction. It's not like we like people who are opposites. It's opposites don't attract. It's similars who attract. That's number one. And the second thing is that we want to be associated with people and organizations who are going to win. So if you look, for instance, at Apple under Steve Jobs, that was a tough place to work. And so, why did people stay there? Well, they want to be associated with an organization that is winning, that is in the news, that is successful. And you see this with football teams and basketball teams. Former Indiana basketball coach Bobby Knight, who threw chairs at players and got fired for that. And I'm not recommending this as leadership behavior, but why would a basketball player put up with that? I want to be part of a great program. So our desire to be associated with winning oftentimes causes us to be willing to put up with behavior that isn't particularly good behavior, but we put up with it because we want to be a part of a successful organization.
Yeah, well said, absolutely. How about this twist in the culture with what we're seeing? It's funny you mentioned sports, that there are now people that are saying we don't want our kids to get participation medals, where, that's a big business in the trophy world because everybody gets a trophy. So forget first, second, and third. Is that a damaging thing to teach kids that, competition, it's okay, but everybody's a winner?
It's, I think, quite damaging. There's been a bunch of articles, including by Elizabeth Colbert, about how we've created children who are not really ready for the real world, because in the real world is filled with hierarchy. There's still only one CEO at places like Facebook and Apple, even though they're in the Silicon Valley. And because organizations are still pyramids, there are more people at the bottom than at every successive level above. And so people have to build, I think, resilience. So if you ask me what are the qualities that that make people successful in the contemporary workplace, or maybe even in the older workplace, persistence and resilience is really, I think, very important. I mean, the famous former San Francisco mayor, Willie Brown, lost the first time he ran for San Francisco for assembly and the first time he ran for speaker. You look at successful politicians, many of them have had setbacks along their careers. Business leaders often have setbacks. Reed Hastings, the fabulous and very successful and now extremely wealthy CEO of Netflix, got fired from his previous CEO job. So we need to teach our children, we need to teach ourselves how to be resilient in the face of troubles and difficulties.
And does that work in today's world, especially because entrepreneurism is flourishing? And if you're going to be an entrepreneur, wouldn't that also follow suit about persistence and resilience?
Absolutely. I mean, many entrepreneurs, their first venture fails. And I mean, we forget, before there was all these famous things from, Apple, we forget the Lisa, we forget the Newton, all the failed products. We forget the fact that Steve Jobs was actually thrown out of the company and came back. So many successful leaders have had, and certainly every company has had product failures and difficulties. And most leaders have had failures and difficulties also. So therefore, the ability to overcome adversity and just hang in there and wear down the opposition is, I think, a very important quality.
All right, Jeff Pfeffer, thank you so much. Leadership BS, Fixing Workplace and Careers One Truth at a Time. I'm sure you can pick the book up on Amazon or wherever great books are sold. We appreciate your time.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
The sound your brain makes when you realize you're buying something and forgot the coupon. Online or in a store, knowing that you're missing a deal is the worst. You need the app from RetailMeNot right now. Get thousands of coupons from 50,000 stores like Kohl's, Domino's, Best Buy, and more with crazy deals like 60% off, free shipping, and free gifts with purchase. You can get a text invite to download the RetailMeNot app 100% free right now for Apple or Android. Just text the code UPDATE to 42767. Then just show your phone at checkout to save. It literally couldn't be easier. It's 2015. Keep your coupons coupons in your phone. Stop what you're doing and text UPDATE to 42767. Listeners will get a text with a link to download it 100% free. Never forget another coupon again. Text the code UPDATE to 42767 right now. That's UPDATE to 42767. Message and data rates may apply. For terms and privacy, visit RetailMeNow.com.